face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see a darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
It seems most fitting to me that we should have this service this morning in the church. For Mrs. Helmley was a charter member of Century Assembly, and it was her desire that her funeral might be conducted here in the church. She is survived by her husband, Otto Helmley, two sons, Melvin of Lodi and Orville of Santa Cruz, five grandchildren, Orville's children, Dennis from San Jose and Ruth from Fresno, and Melvin's children, Lemoyne from Tulsa, Stan from Lodi, and Janice from Oklahoma City, three great-grandchildren, two sisters, and a host of friends. When I thought about Sister Helmley, my attention was turned today to the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter. And there are some words I'd like to read that I think are most fitting and most appropriate and very apropos when we talk about Mrs. Helmley. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And I think the whole family would say, and many friends, amen to that. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And I think that's most fitting this morning. I would like to read just one other verse of Scripture from which I would like to make some statements concerning Sister Helmley this morning. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. They brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. If I were to give what I'm about to say a title, I would call it The Shadow of Influence. Perhaps it's difficult for us to understand how people anywhere could believe that a shadow could take on personality and transmit that personality. There is, however, something about the shadow of a person that is relevant and important to our thinking this morning. What I mean by that is that a shadow is typical or symbolic of the influence that a person portrays and shows and throws on those that are around them in the life as they travel through. We all cast some kind of a shadow as we travel through life. We cannot be neutral, for each one of us must give answer for the kind of a shadow or the influence that we portray as we travel across this stage called life. There's some sobering truths for just a moment I'd like to share with you concerning influence that we cannot escape. Influence is either good or bad. It can never, ever be neutral. Many people deceive themselves by assuming that in matters that are moral or spiritual, they can be non-committal. The truth is that whatever a person does not champion, he is automatically throwing his weight to the wrong side. If a man or a woman does not stand four square for honesty or cleanness of thought or life or temperance or tolerance, it is perfectly obvious that he opens the door for the invasion of evil. Influence is, for the most part, irrevocable. It was George Eliot that said, "Sin is like a bit of bad workmanship. You can never see the end of the mischief that it will do." Not only can you not be non-committal concerning influence, but you cannot manipulate influence at will. A man cannot say to himself, "Now I'm going to exert a good influence." You see, influence is like the fragrance of a flower. It depends upon the sunshine. It depends upon the rain. And no artificial device of the will of man, no trick of ingenuity, can produce a healing shadow from a wasted life. It cannot be done. Good influence is not something you can turn off and on. It is the product of what we are. And so, having looked at that, let's turn the coin over and look at the other side. Never forget that a person's influence depends far more upon what they are than what they have or accomplish. It is much more important to be than it is to have. No matter what degree of genius you might have or cleverness, it is never a substitute for a healing shadow to be cast from a life as we pass along. The only thing that will bring about a better world is for each of us to live a better life. A few moments ago, a new president was sworn into office, and a lot of promises were made, and I'm sure that he intends to keep them all and to turn the country around and make it a different country. But it can never be done unless there comes a change of heart and life. For the influence that we exert comes from what is inside of us. Then remember, too, that the influence of a person depends in a large measure upon the extent to which he invests himself in people. No man will long be remembered. No woman will long be remembered unless they invest themselves in people. It's people that count. We touch elbows with people every day, and we can do all kinds of other things, but unless we invest in people, we will never leave a lasting impression upon a world that we're passing through. But if we're willing to invest ourselves in people, we do not ever have to worry that our ideals and our aspirations or our life has been wasted. And I think this brings me to the point where I could say unreservedly that Sister Helmley is one of those people who has cast her shadow over many and influenced many because she was willing to invest her time, her talents, her life in people. Her family. Every member of her family speaks with the highest reverence and the greatest amount of love toward this one. Somebody said the other night from the family that she was a great mother and a great grandmother and a great mother-in-law. And that every member of the family expressed their appreciation for this one. All of the grandchildren loved Grandma. But not only did she express and spend her time with her family, which a lot of us think is enough, but her influence, her sphere of influence, reached out to many, many other people. Her concern was not just for hers, but for others. And as I sat with the family the other night, and we were reminiscing about some of the things, I did not get to know Sister Helmley when she was at her prime in life. I have known her for the last 10 or 11 years, but not when she was at her prime. And the children tell me that many is the time when she got ready to cook, there would not be one meal, but they have seen many times as high as four meals being cooked at the same time. She could never put one cake in the oven or one loaf of bread in the oven. She always had to put three or four. Why? Because somebody else needed to eat too. And while she prepared for herself, Brother Helmley was sent on his errands to take meals to other people. Now, one of the things I am happy about, I was the recipient. She was still able to do some things, and Mrs. Duncan and I, and Doug was home then, we were the recipients of lots of those things. And she was so kind to us, so loving toward us. A great influence. But not only did her shadow reach out to cover her family and those of friends, but her great concern and love was her church. If I, as a pastor, had a church full of people like Sister Helmley and all of them felt about their church like she did, we'd never have a difficulty, a problem, and we certainly would fill every seat. Every time the doors were open and she was able to be here, she was here. I remember time after time going to the nursing home, and without fail, I do not ever remember one time of visiting her that she did not say, "Pastor, if you would just pray that the Lord would touch my legs." And she didn't say, "So I could go here, yon." She said, "So I can go to church." so I can be in the house. Oh, I miss being in the Lord's house. And you know, I never came out of that place except that I felt I had been ministered to rather than ministering to her. One of the other great joys of her life was the women's ministries of the church. She invested many, many years in that. She was one of those who was always in the making the quilts. And those quilts go to Santa Cruz and are placed there so that missionaries coming through, going to a foreign field, can pick up quilts and clothing and what have you. And I suppose that the quilt she has made has warmed many a missionary in many parts of the world. I was touched when Leela Haynes said, one of the young ladies from our church, that some time back, Sister Helmley gave her a call and said, could you come to the house? I'd like to talk to you. So Leela went to the house. And she said to Leela, I'm not going to be around forever. And a lot of the younger ladies are not into the women's ministries like I'd like to see them. And Leela, I'd like to teach you how to quilt so that you could carry on when I'm gone. So she taught Leela how to quilt. And she gave Leela a big square of a quilt that she had started but was not finished. And Leela said that really became kind of a spiritual blanket to her, security blanket, a spiritual security blanket, that when she was a little bit discouraged or whatever, she saw somebody thought enough of her to take time to teach her and to carry on the ministry. To me, that's what it's all about. But I think most of all, she was so intimately acquainted with her God. Not only was she interested in her influence and her shadow was cast over her family and over friends and over her church, but the God of heaven had cast his influence in her life until she became the reflection of him. Many people have said to me since she has gone to be with the Lord that she was not just the kind of a person who would stand on Wednesday night to give a testimony and say that she knew the Lord, but she was the kind of a person who practiced what she preached. She knew God, knew him in an intimate way. And she told me personally that many times as she was there in the rest home, that many hours she spent praying for this pastor, for this church, and for others. She's had a positive influence on this church and on this pastor. And I think I can say for all of us who knew her, she is a woman who will be missed. I don't think you can say much more than that. For there might be a lot of us who could step off the scene today and nobody would miss us. We just would be gone, but she will be missed. But I'm so grateful today that she knows a God who has supplied an answer to death. And this is not the end. It is only the beginning. This is a day of coronation. I think most of you are aware that just a few days ago, I buried my own father. And I feel about Sister Helmley exactly like I did my own father. I am not today at all able to feel extremely sad. I'm sad for me. I'm sad because I'll miss her. I'm sad for the family because they will. But not for her. Because she's gone to be with the Lord, where there are no nursing homes, where there is no pain, where there's no sorrow, no crying, and no dying. I think I'd like to leave you with just two things. Shadows are harmless, and while we shrink in dread from them, sometimes especially the shadow of death, the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the Christian never pauses, is never left in the shadow of death. Our word that we remember is, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that all of us shall live so that when our time comes to go, we'll be ready to meet her. Because she'll be there, waiting with open arms, singing the praises of God. Released from the chains that bound her to tread streets we've never trod, running, laughing, walking, touching, seeing, talking, holding hands with God. Released from the halls of silence to hear sounds we've yet to hear, angels' choirs singing, praises to God ringing, the voice of one so dear. Released from the bonds of darkness to see things we've yet to see, mansions lovingly prepared, beauties that we've never shared, the face of him who died for me. Released to be with Jesus. Released, forever free. Released. Sister Helmley has been released, and praise God, we too shall be. Will you pray with me, please? We recognize, Lord, that words are so inadequate that no matter how eloquent the speaker might be, we can never quite say what we would like to say. And so when we have reached the end of our hoarded resources and the limits of our vocabulary, we ask that the Holy Spirit will take up his ministry of comfort and of peace and of serenity. Thank you for one like this, Lord. Thank you for one. It's most difficult to be sad as we ought to be at a funeral, because it's really not that. It's a homecoming. It's a coronation. And she's there where there's no pain and no sorrow and no tears waiting for us. Help us to live so we too shall be ready to go. Minister to this family in the days to come, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.